the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. And today is October the 5th, and on today's show, we'll be talking about three things. Number one, small Bitcoin miner Aquarius AI. They acquired something. Good, bad, we'll take a look into it. Number two, Core Scientific with their September 2022 update. This is a company that mines a heck of a lot of Bitcoin. We'll look into that. And third, Coinbase, the show whipping boy. Well, what did they do? Some expansion. Good or bad, we'll take a look into that. So stick around because this is going to be a good one. And we can't go any further without talking about the sponsor for today's episode, which is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin, but you could if you wanted to. Open up an account with our referral code below and you fund your account with $100. Use $100 to buy Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform. And ShakePay, they'll give you $10, no questions asked. Also, if you do open up an account with our code below, you unlock the ability to shake your phone with the ShakePay app being open. And ShakePay will reward you with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. And if you do this every day for a period of 365 consecutive days, the amount of Satoshis you are given per day increase to the point will be 1,000 Satoshis per day after 365 straight days of shaking your phone. Not too bad. Another good way to stack sats, use your ShakePay Visa card. Every time you go out and buy something, use the ShakePay Visa card. And the first $5,000 you purchase with the card, cumulatively, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And beyond that, 1% in perpetuity will be given to you in Bitcoin. Another great way to stack sats. You could also stack sats using the Shake Squad, where you could team up to four other ShakePay users. Anytime anybody uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody in your squad gets 42 sats. There's also the Shake Paid promotion, where every time you use your ShakePay Visa card, you potentially get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. And they also have the ShakePay Earn. It's currently in beta. Sign up, get on the waiting list. It's another great way to earn some little bit extra moolah on the side, or some, in this case, Bitcoin. So open up an account, use our code below. We recommend it, we use it, and you should do it too. So with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. All right, so the first story I have is about very tiny Bitcoin miner called Aquarius AI, traded under the ticker AQUA. And well, they made a purchase today, and it's really not the greatest, and I'm going to just try to explain why. And maybe there's some holes in my argument and the way I'm looking at things. And if I got it wrong, let me know below, because I would love to see what your thoughts are on this. And hopefully I did get it wrong, but let's see what's going on. So, according to this, Aquarius AI has announced an agreement to acquire Jellyworks Inc. Never heard of Jellyworks Inc., but whatever. And it's a minimum of 70% of the issued and outstanding common shares of Jellyworks. So they're taking 70%, or they plan to take 70% of the ownership of Jellyworks. And this is going to be in exchange for a little bit over 60.5 million common shares of Aquarius AI. It's noted here that it's going to represent 33% of the common shares that will be issued and outstanding as of the closing of the acquisition. Now, I did some quick math. I multiplied this by each share, which it is right now, which is 5.5 cents per share, Canadian, by the way. And it comes out that the acquisition is going to be around $3.3 million Canadian for the acquisition of Jellyworks. Very expensive acquisition. Also, if you look at the market cap of Aquarius AI, it's 6.73 million. So they're giving up approximately, just based on market cap, half of the ownership of Aquarius AI to acquire 70% of Jellyworks. Now, is Jellyworks a big company that's going to be growing in the not-too-distant future? Well, let's take a quick peek. And what is Jellyworks? Well, Jellyworks is a leading Web3 technology company. The Web3 just keeps rearing its ugly head. And they're focused on building a play-to-earn gaming guild, building a decentralized economy for gamers. Gaming dominates Web3 with over 70% of all active wallets being owned by gamers. Jellyworks operates by buying online gaming NFTs and then delegating those NFTs to players around the world who play skill-based games and earn tokens. The tokens are then split 50-50 between a player and Jellyworks. Really? Web3? NFTs? Okay, well, maybe this is a very large company. It's growing in leaps and bounds. Took a look at their LinkedIn. I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is. It says here their company size is between 2 and 10 employees. Doesn't seem all that large. So let's take a look even further. Let's take a look at their Twitter page. Maybe they have tons of followers. Unless I'm wrong, this is the official Twitter page for Jellyworks Inc. 2 followers and 2 following. Join September 2022. Here's their website. You got the VR goggles on and everything. Like, really? Like, this is a purchase for $3.5 million, 16.5 million shares of Aquarius AI to buy this. It doesn't seem like it's a very good purchase to me. It seems like it's overvalued. They overpaid for this. It's a company which it's not very large. Maybe they're streamlined and their services are very well done and they're able to maximize profit with so few employees. But there's some flags here. Am I the only person that sees this as being something that's concerning? I'd love to know your thoughts. I've been rather bullish on Aquarius AI. I haven't talked poorly about them until now. Unfortunately, this transaction is bad. And I just do not see a silver lining. It's not like when big digital assets purchased, what's the name of that company? TerraZero, a third of it for $9.8 million. At least TerraZero, they're expanding into China. And I can't believe I'm defending that acquisition. But this one, unless I'm missing something, and it's something that's just glaringly obvious that I cannot see, it's a bad acquisition. So, if you are an Aquarius AI bag holder, good luck. Dump your bags sooner rather than later, NFA. And it's just not looking good moving forward from this company, which is too bad, so sad. And you know what? I wish they stuck to Bitcoin and just did that, but apparently that wasn't their MO. And moving things along, we could talk something positive for change, Core Scientific, with their September 2022 update. And Core Scientific is the largest by hash rate Bitcoin, publicly traded Bitcoin miner out there. And they also have the most amount of debt too. So there's some good and bad that comes along with it. So they mine a ton of Bitcoin every month, but they also have to service this very enormous debt. And they do it by selling Bitcoin that they mine. And in the past, they were accumulating Bitcoin, but they did it to a point where they could no longer service the debt, and they just sold all their Bitcoin, or the majority of it. And now whatever Bitcoin they mine, for the most part, they sell. Bitcoin mining is a very capital-intensive, and OPEX, too, is very, very expensive just to run a Bitcoin mining operation. The enormous amount of electricity is to keep their operations alive. It's very costly. We'll look into this in just a second here. So this is their September 2022 update, and I'll try to do a comparison between the prior month and this month. But before I go, just the highlights really are they mined 1,213 Bitcoin, which is a lot for 1 month. Their hash rate is now 22.5 exahash per second, which is a heck of a lot. And the number of ASICs that they have operational, it's approaching 250,000. It's now 232,000. That's a lot of ASICs and a lot of energy, a lot of everything. It's a massive number. So as I mentioned, they have 232,000 ASICs and their hash rate is 22.5 exahash per second. But that's both their self-mining and what they're providing for hosting services for clients. And in comparison, the previous month, they had 225,000 ASIC servers, and their hash rate was 21.54. So you can see their the amount of ASICs went up, and so did their hash rate, went up about 1x hash per second in the month alone. For the month of September, they mined 1,213 Bitcoin for an average of 40.4 per day, versus the previous month that they mined 1,334 Bitcoin. So they mined a little bit more Bitcoin in the month of August, but it's not a big deal. It's rather negligible. You could get unlucky in terms of finding blocks, and that could be one of the reasons why. During the month, they deployed 2,900 new ASIC servers, and again, that's a lot. Their total self mining hash rate is now 13 exahash per second. That is huge. Compared to the previous month, was 12.69. So you can see their self-hosting hash rate continually goes up. For their clients, the hosting services, they provide 9.5 exahash per second, which is an enormous amount. And that's going to continually provide them a revenue stream regardless of the price of Bitcoin, because they are simply providing hosting services. They're going to be able to do everything. And for providing the service, they're going to be charging a fee. And it's a very good business to be in, especially at a time when the price of Bitcoin is down. Now, as I mentioned, they do sell a lot of Bitcoin. They sold 1,576 Bitcoin for the month. And they only mined, as I mentioned, 1,213. So they sold off more Bitcoin than they mined. And they sold it off for a price of $20,460 per Bitcoin. So given the price where it is today, that was a pretty good price, a pretty good deal. And there was some curtailments that took place in the month of September due to Texas. It's winding down, though. But, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be some issues with there's going to be a requirement to redirect power to the grid in case there's a very, very hot day still left. And we're still September. We're October now, but this was representing September. So it represented 8,774 megawatts hours. Now, this is down from the previous month, where in August they had to curtail 11,057 megawatt hours. Obviously, August is going to be a hotter month than September, and here you go. And they're operating in Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, North Dakota, Texas, and they're going to be operating soon to be in the state of Oklahoma. So all in all, you can see there's steady growth. The only thing that's really concerning about Core Scientific is the debt. They are carrying, like I mentioned, an enormous amount of debt, and it's very difficult to service this. And the only way that they're doing it is they're selling the Bitcoin they mine, plus a little bit extra in reserve. So there's going to come a point in time where they'll have zero Bitcoin on the balance sheet, and they're going to have to do something. Maybe they'll have to dilute a company. They've done it recently, so they could do it again. Who the heck knows? But again, this is the part and parcel of being a Bitcoin mining company. If the price of Bitcoin goes down any further, if there's a drawdown of 15, 20, 25%, it's really going to impact companies like Core Scientific. The one thing I fear about them, because of the debt that they have, and if they can't service it, there's going to come a point in time, if things go really poor in not too distant future, they're going to have to start selling their equipment and chop up the largest publicly traded Bitcoin mining company. Could happen. Just all depends on what's going to happen on two fronts. Number one, is managing debt going to be more expensive? Because if they're going to be taking on new debt, it's going to be at a point where it's going to be higher interest rates, or is the Fed going to pivot and it's going to be lower interest rates? And number two, the price of Bitcoin. This is, you know, they're selling Bitcoin. It's going to be at spot price. If the price is decent, like right now we're sitting at 20,160. If we gain another 5,000, it's going to, you know, really help them out. Goes down another 5,000. Oh man, Core Scientific, it's going to be real issue over there. So that's the only thing I got to say about them. Keep an eye out. What's the price of Bitcoin? Because that they are very, very sensitive to it just because of the amount of debt that they carry. And the last story I have is about the show whipping boy Coinbase. And they are, it's a brief story. They're entering into Australia. Really good news because it gives them a global reach. And Australia is a relatively wealthy country, so people there, they earn a higher income than do the most of the rest of the world. So they will have more discretionary income, you'd hope. The housing prices is rather high over there. And if they do want to spend their discretionary income and buy digital assets, well, Coinbase could be the one that they're going to be using to do it. So it could be their on-ramp. I think it's rather good news, but it's still Coinbase. Take that with a grain of salt. So they say that they're going to be adding local payment platform PayID as a way for customers to transfer Australian dollars to the Coinbase account. Okay, so they could trade in and get digital assets from Coinbase, like Bitcoin and God knows whatever else they sell, which is quite numerous these days. This was announced actually late yesterday. They expanded the services into Australia, and they're going to be providing, you know, access to what they quote crypto and Web3. And just what Coinbase offers just makes me shake my head. That's why they're the show whipping boy. And they say at Coinbase, they believe in collaborating with governments on initiatives related to blockchain technology, Web3, and digital assets. They just keep checking off those boxes. You're just another, you know, whatever, you're junk. But the one good thing is when they did incorporate in Australia, they did get authority from the local registration and obtain registration over there to sell digital assets. And they got it from the Australian Transaction Reports and Analysis Center. So they did get the proper approvals in order to do whatever it is they have to do in Australia. Like I said, Australia is generally a wealthy country, so there could be, I'm not going to say a boom, but less than a boon. It's going to be pretty good. The fact that people are going to be able to use Coinbase, but they sell so much garbage, and they do staking, they do Web3, they do NFTs, all the stuff you really don't want to see from an exchange because, oh, that stuff is just getting absolutely wrecked these days. But you know, at the very least, expansion into Australia gives them a global reach. I like that. Want to hear your thoughts about this. Are you as, you know, bearish as I am with respect to Coinbase? Are you a Coinbase bull? Even with me being a bear, I still look at this story as being one that is positive. So I'll take that. It's not going to bring them to the promised land, but it's one step closer to helping investors that they took a beating in the past little while. So it is what it is. I wish you well if you are a Coinbase investor and you're holding a bag. And if you're looking to get in, look somewhere else. I'm not a big fan of Coinbase. And that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not giving out any financial advice. So before you go and park your money anywhere that I'm talking about, if it's going to be a Bitcoin mining operation or if it's an exchange or whatever, do your own research. It only makes sense. And with that, we'll likely be back tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is October the 7th, and on today's show, four stories. Unfortunately, three of them not very good, and one of them is pretty good. Up for the not very good ones, we'll be talking about CryptoStar, BitDigital, and the big one, Argo. Some really bad news coming from all three of those camps. The good side, Iris Energy. We'll be saving the good for last because we always want to end on a good note. So stick around. There's going to be a lot of bad news to talk about this episode. It's going to be a fun one. And we can't go any further without talking about today's sponsor, which is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy, but never sell your Bitcoin. But you could if you wanted to. But why would you, given the price of Bitcoin right now? Open up an account with our referral code below. Fund your account with $100 and use that money to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform. ShakePay will then give you $10, no questions asked. Also, if you do open up an account with our referral code below, you unlock the ability to shake your phone and get some partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do this on consecutive days, you get more Satoshis per day, to the point you do it for 365 straight days, well, the rewards are gonna be 1,000 Satoshis per day per shake, not too bad. Another great way to stack sats, use the ShakePay Visa card. Load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and go out and buy stuff like gas and groceries or whatever the heck you have to buy. And the first $5,000 you purchase, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. And beyond that, every other purchase will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin 1%. So First 5,000, 2%. Beyond that, 1% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. Also, by using your ShakePay Visa card, you have the potential to get the whole thing comped to you in Bitcoin with the ShakePay promotion. So you're rolling the dice every time you use the ShakePay Visa card. So it's a great way to stack sats. Also, you could team up with up to four other members in the Shake squads. And anytime if you use the ShakePay Visa card, your other squad members are going to be rewarded with 42 sats and vice versa. So anybody in the Shake squad that uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 Satoshis are going to be given out to everyone in the Shake squad. Another great way to stack sats. And the last thing they have is the Shake Earn. It's in beta form right now. It's just a waiting list. So get in on the waiting list, and this is going to be another good way to stack sats. But right now it's not rolled out just yet, but it will come out very, very soon. So we like ShakePay. There's so many great ways to stack sats simply by signing up and using their services. I use them to buy my Bitcoin, and we recommend you do it as well. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And leading things off is a story from a very small Bitcoin mining company, CryptoStar. And CryptoStar was rug pulled hard last year when their power provider in Alberta closed shop, and well, it caused CryptoStar a lot of issues, and they're still reeling from that and feeling the effects. Well, they gave us an update as of October 7th, what's going on with their company. And you can see that their letter of intent, they terminated that with their Kansas partner in this update here. That is really just closing the loop. It's not really that bad because this was started back in February, if I recall correctly. But what is concerning here? Well, their hash rate. As of October 7th, their hash rate was 92.24 petahash. What was it the last time they reported? Well, back in August 29th, their hash rate was 94.4. So their hash rate was higher in August than it was in beginning of October. What is going on? Reading between the lines, I'm not sure. They say they have 160 high-performance ASIC miners. Of the previously announced purchase of 600 ASIC miners, they're remaining to be deployed. Okay, the same thing was reported the last time. So they're still waiting for the 160 high-performance miners to come on board. And when they do eventually plug them in, it's going to add to their hash rate 14.1 petahash. But nothing has changed with this order since the end of August. I know lead times are long for these things, and there's issue with supply chains, but really there's not much growth here. Also, another thing that's concerning with CryptoStar is that they, well, mined Ethereum at one time. Ethereum no longer is not mineable, so it's moved from a proof of work to a proof of stake. So they're trying to find opportunities out there, and they're actively exploring them to utilize their GPU computing power. Obviously, this is going to be something that's not as lucrative as Ethereum. Very concerning. But they are doing hosting. This I like. And they are taking in revenue of $2.1 million for providing hosting of approximately 12 megawatts in their facility in Utah. I like hosting because it does give them a steady stream of revenue. But it seems like this company is pivoting from primarily a Bitcoin miner to more a Bitcoin hosting mining company. So yeah, they also mentioned as of October 6th, they terminated the letter of intent with the Kansas partner, and whatever, that's basically closing the loop. They submitted an application to secure more energy from Hydro-Quebec, 5 megawatts. Not sure if this is going to be approved or not. And they talk about what I mentioned earlier today in this portion of the show, is that they were rug pulled by their Alberta partner that was providing them power, 30 megawatts. In fact, this was back in December 31st. So it's been 10 months-ish since this happened. And they're still reeling. They haven't really been able to find sound footing since then. If you want to look at their holdings, as of October 7th, they held 550 ETH, 80 Bitcoin, and 2.1 million in cash. How does this compare to last time this was reported? Well, they had 550 ETH as of August 29th, 80 Bitcoin, and 2.8 million in cash. So they're a little bit less cash, but they're spending a lot of money. to, it says here, they made payments and deposits for building and infrastructure equipment of $3.9 million. So they are trying to expand, but really it's just, it seems like it's more than anything, it's spinning their wheels. They're never going to be a large Bitcoin mining company. In fact, they have to find out what are they going to have to do with their GPU mining equipment. That is rather concerning because it used to be a lucrative business. Didn't take much energy to mine Ethereum comparatively to Bitcoin. So you were able to generate a decent amount of revenue as a result of that. That door is closed and they have to find something else to do with those GPU mining equipment. And if the longer they sit waiting doing something else, well, it's just being devalued and just depreciating over time. And it's not doing very good for the company itself. So CryptoStar, since December, when they got rug pulled from that Alberta power company, things have not been good for them. And I have a sneaky suspicion moving forward, I don't know what's going to happen with this company. This might be one that's going to be gobbled up by one of the bigger Bitcoin mining companies. They do have hosting services and they provide a steady stream of revenue. So there is some good to that, but really they're never going to get really that large. So that's the one thing I'm looking forward for this one, is this one might get bought out by a bigger company. I could be wrong, but that's just my two cents. And moving along, BitDigital, they are obviously a Bitcoin mining company. They have partnered up some time ago with a company in the state of New York called BlockFusion. BlockFusion is providing BitDigital with hosting services. Generally, I'm not very bullish on this. I prefer to see providing hosting services rather than the reverse, receiving the hosting services, because you're having somebody else host your equipment, you're adding another layer of complexity in already a very complex model. So what's happened here? Let's take a look. So they've essentially announced they have stopped operations as of October 4th. So it's essentially the city or the location in Niagara Falls, New York. They have provided, the city did, they provided BlockFusion with a notice of a cease and desist order. And this is from providing any cryptocurrency mining or related operations at that facility. This is as all stems from an explosion that was announced back in May 2022. And at the time that explosion took place, it cut off approximately 2,500 of their Bitcoin miners and 710 of the Ethereum miners. So that's a significant amount. We'll be talking about what that represents in terms of their overall network. And BlockFusion, they have advised BitDigital that this came into effect, this ordinance came into effect as of October 1st. And this is obviously causing some real issues with BitDigital. BlockFusion is preparing applications for new permits, but it says here the permits could take several months to process. So there's going to be a long time before this is resolved, and all that equipment is going to be left sitting idle. What does that equipment equate to with the overall network? Well, BitDigital's network, that over at that location in Niagara Falls, at the BlockFusion location, 17% of the overall active mining fleet. That's a lot of equipment that is just going to be sitting idle until they're able to sort this out. In terms of how much Bitcoin they earned, and you can kind of discern how much more Bitcoin they can earn, back in August, they earned 145 Bitcoin. So 17% of their overall network was offline as a result in August. So you could basically tack on an extra 17%. So that's going to be nearly 20 more Bitcoin, give or take. That's just my quick math. So there's a significant amount of Bitcoin that's just sitting there on the table, not going to be able to do anything until this BlockFusion company is able to resolve this issue that all stemmed from a May 2022 explosion. It's been several months that this has been at this particular state, and it's going to be many, many more months before this is resolved. BitDigital, BT is the ticker. They're going to have to, it looks like they have committed to sit idly by and wait for this to be resolved by BlockFusion. So that's why when you're talking about hosting services and receiving them, this is an example why it isn't the greatest. And in fact, we talked not too long ago about Compute North. They filed for Chapter 11, and this caused real problems with some of the companies that they provide services for. It's not the best of positions to receive it. It's better positioned to provide hosting services. So BitDigital, although they are a decent company when it comes to hash rate and the amount of Bitcoin they mine. There's still ways to go before they move up to the next level. This is going to be something that's going to take some time to process. And they're not going to be able to mine that Bitcoin until they are able to get the permit. And once they get the permits approved, then they're going to have to then set everything up. It's going to be many, many months. That's a lot of Bitcoin on a table that's essentially lost. That equipment, in the meantime, sits idle, depreciates in value over time. Not the greatest situation to be in for Bit Digital or an investor of Bit Digital. So there you go. Not the greatest news. And it's another bad story. I just have to pass it on to you. And the last bad news story I have for today is from Argo. And they have given us a real bombshell with what's going on with this company. This is one of the older Bitcoin, publicly traded Bitcoin mining companies. And at one time was one of the larger ones that has fallen on rather difficult times in the last little while. Well, it was noted that, well, this is all through YouTube, this information, that they have raised $27 million. And this is to ease liquidity pressures. What's going to happen with Argo moving forward? And they mentioned, so $27 million, and this is after agreeing to issue 87 million shares to a sole investor. One would love to know who that particular person is or what is that particular investor. I doubt it's an individual. I would imagine it's more a hedge fund, a company, something along those lines. But nonetheless, that's a massive amount of liquidity that's being gained from this whole deal, and it's a massive amount of shares that are being transferred as a result. This came after Peter Wall, their CEO, was posted or did a video on YouTube, and he was saying that their, as for Argo, their profitability has been squeezed from both sides, from higher energy prices to lower Bitcoin price, that resulted in a cash crunch for Argo. And in addition to issuing the 87 million shares, and that equates to around 15% of the business, Argo has also announced a sale of 3,400 Antminer S19 J Pro miners to a third party for a total of $7 million. And the sale of the mining equipment will cause a reduction in the hash rate, no doubt, of course. And he does note, assuming all the transactions close, we're confident we have the liquidity and balance sheet to get us through the next 12 months. That's interesting. So there's a 12-month window here. Should all these transactions close, that they'll be able to keep their head above water. What happens in 12 months' time? Are they going to be in the same position? Are they going to start liquidating more equipment? When you are selling equipment, and this is your only source of generating revenue, this is a real big, massive red flag. I've been talking about this for some time, that this depressed price of Bitcoin is not showing on my block clock right now, but it has been sitting in the 18, 19, 20, 21 range for some time. In fact, it's, I think since June, we've been in this area here. It hasn't moved, and this is causing a real problem for Bitcoin mining companies. It's a matter of time before you see some of these that are leveraged. They're going to have to do something to get their heads above water. What is going to happen? I suspect you're going to have more companies selling equipment like Argo just did, but you might even have some filing for bankruptcy or just being bought outright by another company. This is something that's going to be really troubling moving forward with a lot of these Bitcoin mining companies that just leverage too much at a time when everybody thought the price of Bitcoin was going parabolic and it was not going to come down. We've been in this depressed state for an extremely long time. It's very difficult for Bitcoin mining companies to continue to remain in business if the price of energy continues to go up. There's going to be a point in time where it's going to be costly, more costly to mine Bitcoin than it is to sell the Bitcoin that you produce it with the energy that you use to consume on your ASICs equipment. So this is going to be a real problem moving forward. The companies that have access to the cheapest energy, reliable, cheap energy moving, and this is for a sustained period of time, those are the ones that are going to thrive. Companies like Argo, they might be the ones that just unfortunately capitulate, and they will be gone in the very near future. In this case, Peter Wall gave us a time frame, 12 months. That's not very long. What's going to happen come October 2023? Will they cease to exist? Who knows? It's all dependent on the price of Bitcoin. If it stays the way it is right now in this very depressed state, it's going to be very troubling for companies like Argo. And I don't think Bitcoin's going to go nuts in the next little while, given what's going on in the world of finance. So again, that's NFA, but man, oh man, if you are an Argo investor, you are in for a very rough time. 12 months is what Peter Wall is giving us, given what they have on their balance sheet. What's going to happen then? Look out. And the last story I have is from Iris Energy, and it's a good news story for a change. And Iris Energy always tends to have good news, so it's good to end on this company and this note. And they provided their September 2022 update. And we can take a look what's going on compared to the previous month. So their hash rate at the end of September is 2.7 exahash per second. And it's up from the end of August, which was 2.2 exahash. So there's a considerable jump. The amount of Bitcoin they mined for the month of September was 325 compared to 301 for the month of August. So obviously number go up. But another number that goes up, which is just par for the course these days, everything is more expensive, including the cost of energy. Well, the electricity that costs them to mine one Bitcoin in US dollars as of the end of September was almost $8,700, $8,691 to be specific. Compared to the end of August, big jump, was only $8,094. So it's gone up $600 in 1 month. So that's a significant jump. This is going to be a big thing to look at moving forward with respect to Iris Energy and for other Bitcoin mining companies. And as I talked about the previous story, there's going to be a point in time if the price of energy continues to go up and the price of Bitcoin stays stagnant or goes down, it's going to be more costly to mine Bitcoin than it is to sell it. So that could be real problematic. So all in all, you can see it's a rather good thing. They still have intentions to get to 6 exahash per second. That's their goal by the end of Q4 2022. So this is a rather short update. I'm not going to go too in-depth into this, but I just want to state that Iris Energy number go up, their hash rate continues to go up, the amount of Bitcoin they mine continues to go up per month, but also is the energy cost. This is something we're going to have to really keep an eye on because they are primarily based out of Canada. That is where the majority of their operations are located. And in Canada, while we have a couple of different problems. Number one is, well, energy cost is going up, but also is the Canadian dollar goes down. We're not importing energy, we're creating our own, but it also just creates complexities within Canada too. So that's something to consider. Also, they do a lot of their operations in BC. So it's generally hydroelectric is the mix over there. It's 99%, I believe, is the mix in BC. So they're primarily using that quote-unquote green energy to mine Bitcoin. But still, as you can see, it's going up substantially. It's gone up per Bitcoin $600 in a span of 1 month. If that sustains itself for a period of, I don't know, 12 months or so, we might be getting to a point, it's going to get maybe a little more than that, 14, 15 months. Then it gets to a point where it's going to be more costly to mine Bitcoin than it is just to mine it and sell it. So yeah, keep an eye out for this. Although there's some good news coming from Iris Energy, there always seems to be good news coming out of Iris Energy. 6 exahash per second by the end of this year is rather good. It's actually outstanding. And they plan to get to double digits by next year. Really cool stuff from Iris Energy. But the cost to mine Bitcoin, that's concerning. And before I sign off, just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not providing any financial advice. Do your own research before you park any money in anything I'm talking about. And with that, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll reconvene on Monday. So take care.